We all pretend to be normal, but here's the uncomfortable truth. Every single one of us is a sexual deviant in our own peculiar way. Behind closed doors, in the privacy of our minds, we harbor desires that would shock even our closest friends. The person sitting across from you on the subway, the colleague in the next cubicle, your own parents, all carry secret fantasies and anxieties about sex that contradict the composed faces they show the world. What if our fundamental error is expecting sex to be straightforward at all? What if the real problem is that we've convinced ourselves there's a normal way to experience desire, when in reality, sexuality is inherently messy, contradictory, and impossible to tame? Unlike books promising better technique or more intense orgasms, this exploration asks a more fundamental question. Why does sex matter so profoundly in the first place? Why does it cause such exquisite pleasure and such devastating pain? The answer reveals something essential about human nature that we've spent centuries trying to ignore. Biology says sex feels good to encourage reproduction, drawing us to symmetrical faces and healthy bodies. But this misses why sexual acceptance moves us so profoundly. We begin life in paradise, naked, held, delighting our caregivers. Then comes the fall. The breast withdraws, our bodies cease to automatically please, areas become forbidden. When someone welcomes us into their most private realm, we experience acceptance where disgust could have been. Physical arousal provides unambiguous proof of genuine desire. Even rudeness during sex satisfies because it represents permission to express our animal nature. Our partner's acceptance of growls, bites, and words unacceptable elsewhere confirms we're loved, including our darkest aspects. The orgasm represents that supreme moment when loneliness is overcome, when we're released from self-consciousness into pure being. Postcoital sadness follows. We're confronted with the stark contrast between perfect union and the separateness of ordinary existence. When we call someone sexy, we reveal more about ourselves than we realize. Physical attraction carries profound psychological significance. We're drawn to faces signaling not just health, but character traits beneficial for relationships. Beauty becomes a promise of happiness, suggesting how we might live and what we value. Fashion expresses distinct philosophies. Minimalist style might indicate attraction to clarity and authenticity, while avant-garde fashion suggests valuing creativity and nonconformity. We're instinctively attracted to qualities compensating for our perceived deficiencies. A naturally disorganized person drawn to discipline, someone overly controlled finding spontaneity appealing. Even specific fetishes reveal deeper psychological truths. A man's attraction to sensible shoes might represent desire for stability after childhood chaos. A woman's fascination with vintage watches might connect to memories of reliability and protection. These aren't arbitrary preferences, but emblems of the good, connecting to our core values and emotional needs. Understanding these patterns explains why attraction feels intensely personal, yet beyond conscious control. Consider this. He wants love and admires her depth, while she desires only physical intimacy. Neither can honestly express their desires. He can't admit wanting love without seeming desperate, and she can't admit wanting only sex without facing judgment. This dishonesty breeds betrayal. The person wanting love but getting sex feels used. The person wanting sex but trapped in commitment feels suffocated. Neither desire holds moral superiority. Both deserve honest expression. Sexual rejection strikes deeply because we interpret it as judgment on our entire being rather than simple physical mismatch. We conflate desire with worth, assuming rejection means we're fundamentally unlovable. This ignores attraction's complex, often arbitrary nature. Just as we've met kind, available people who left us cold despite wishing otherwise, others experience the same with us. Attraction operates largely unconsciously, driven by brain chemistry and evolutionary programming. Sometimes, a no carries no deeper meaning about our worth. Long-term relationships don't guarantee freedom from sexual anxiety. For many married couples with children, sex becomes infrequent and subtle initiations go nowhere. Sexual rejection in marriage feels particularly humiliating. The fundamental challenge, qualities required for sex expansiveness, imagination, playfulness, directly oppose those needed for daily domestic life, time management, discipline, authority. We avoid sex not because it lacks pleasure, but because its abandon threatens our capacity to handle demanding responsibilities. Freud identified a fundamental paradox. Where they love, they have no desire, and where they desire, they cannot love. We learn about love from people with whom sex is forbidden, then choose partners who unconsciously remind us of those childhood figures. This incest taboo intensifies after having children, when couples spend days as mummy and daddy, roles that contaminate their sexual identities. To revitalize desire, we must learn to see our partners anew. Hotel rooms offer unfamiliar environments, freeing us from domestic roles. Modern pornography compounds these challenges, offering endless streams of carefully categorized content, promising infinite novelty. Conservative estimates suggest 200 million man-hours annually diverted from productive pursuits and relationships. After orgasm comes crushing horror, confronting how far we've strayed into a world where anonymous people are exploited, their humanity reduced to searchable physical attributes. Perhaps pornography's fundamental problem isn't its availability, but its nature, demanding us abandon ethics and intelligence to surrender to mindless lust, creating a sharp divide between our sexual and moral selves. Yet we could conceive of different content where excitement coexists with wit, kindness, and emotional connection, allowing sexuality to enhance rather than diminish our respect for a good life. Before condemning adultery, recognize its seductive power after years of routine. When someone new appears, youthful, captivating, the desire isn't merely sexual, but a longing to feel alive again. The real fault may lie in marriage's modern conception, the impossible ambition that one person can satisfy every need for love, sex, and family across decades. Historically, these needs were separated. Troubadours celebrated romantic love without sex. Libertines pursued pure pleasure. Parents raised children in extended networks. Only recently did we create this impossible ideal. Adultery's fundamental flaw is magical thinking, that we can fix marital shortcomings through side adventures while keeping our primary relationship intact. We cannot sleep with someone outside marriage without damaging what matters inside it, just as we cannot remain faithful without missing profound pleasures. Marriage is like a bedsheet that can never be properly straightened. Fixing one corner disturbs the others. Perhaps more realistic vows would acknowledge this. I promise to be disappointed by you and you alone. Fidelity should be recognized as an extraordinary achievement rather than an expected norm, a miracle worthy of daily gratitude. Our sex drive brings distress, rejection, and humiliation throughout our lives. We do revolting things with people we don't like, feel disgusting afterward, and face continuous rejection. Without sex, we might pursue knowledge and art without constant distraction. Yet sex also offers transcendent moments of ecstasy and profound discovery. On summer evenings, it draws us out of our homes, making the air electric with possibility. It expands our horizons and connects us with humanity, sending us to bars, up tenement stairs, into conversations with strangers. The greatest wisdom about sex lies not in solving its contradictions, but in accepting them as fundamental to human experience. We cannot have pleasure without pain, ecstasy without anxiety, connection without risk of rejection. The best we can do is approach our sexuality with compassion rather than judgment, understanding rather than shame, and humor about the absurd predicament evolution has placed us in. In accepting the inherent messiness of our sexual nature, we find not perfect satisfaction, but something equally valuable, the peace that comes from no longer expecting the impossible. This acceptance allows us to experience both the pleasures and challenges of sexuality without being overwhelmed by either, to be fully, imperfectly human.